Our scripture reading this morning is going to come from the book of Psalms, and I'm going to be reading Psalm chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Psalm chapter 4. All right. Hear now the word of the Lord. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Father, we come to your word this morning. With hearts that have been incredibly distracted over the past months and the past week by the public concerns, by private concerns. Lord, this morning we ask that you would help us to give your word our attention, knowing that it's in your word that we will find comfort. It's in your word that we find correction. It's in your word we find encouragement. It's your word that points us to the hope that we have in you. And we ask, Lord, you'd help us to attend to it well this morning. May you pray. Amen. All right, this morning, we are continuing in our study of the book of Psalms, and we're looking at the fourth chapter of the Psalms together. And in the superscript for this psalm, we're told that the author of the psalm is King David, but we aren't told when he wrote the psalm, and we're not told kind of what specific situation in his life led him to write this psalm. And so, since we don't know, what that means is that many scholars have offered their suggestions about which events in David's life this psalm was written in reference to. Some have suggested that Psalm 3 and Psalm 4 were actually written as a set, with Psalm 3 addressing the morning, Psalm 4 addressing the evening, while David was on the run from his son Absalom. But the truth is that we don't know. We don't know when David wrote this psalm. We don't know exactly why David wrote this psalm. And one of the reasons why it's so hard for us to nail this down is because there were so many times in the life of David where he found himself in a situation like the one he describes in Psalm 4 that is hard to really nail down which time. Which time was he under attack? Which time was he in distress? You know, in Psalm 4, we find David under attack, but in this case, he isn't in a physical battle. Instead, he is under attack by those who are spreading malicious rumors. They're spreading malicious lies about him. He is under attack by those who would undermine his authority as king. He is under attack by those who would love to see him removed from his throne. And so in response to this situation, we hear David cry out in this psalm in distress because he is facing oppression and suffering and unjust attacks from all sides. But David, after crying out to the Lord, he doesn't dwell on those troubles. But instead, he tells us that in these moments, we will find peace and joy and safety in the Lord. Even in the middle of hard circumstances, even in the middle of personal attacks, even in the middle of overwhelming fear and anxiety, we will find peace and safety and joy in the Lord when we commit ourselves, when we entrust ourselves to the Lord. And Derek Kidner explains that the main theme of this psalm is really it's inward peace in a distracting situation. And he goes on to say that the approach of night with this temptation to brood on past wrongs and present perils only challenges David to make his faith explicit and to urge it on others as a committal of one's cause and oneself to a faithful creator. So as night approaches, rather than lying awake at night rehearsing the wrongs that have been committed against him or lying awake and planning his revenge against those who attacked him, he commits himself to the Lord. He commits his future once again to the loving care of his Lord. And the reason that we need to hear David's words today is because we tend to respond to hard circumstances and to personal attacks and to danger with fear and with worry and with anger and with thoughts of vengeance and with anxiety. When we suffer personal attacks, when we're going through hard seasons of suffering, when the world around us has gone absolutely crazy, we all struggle to know, well, how do we respond faithfully to this? And so we tend to respond by being anxious. We tend to respond by being fearful. We tend to respond by being indignant. We tend to respond by being violent. We tend to respond by being overwhelmed or devastated. And this past week, we have probably seen and experienced many of these responses as we've seen all that is going on in our country over the past few days. You know, we have seen and felt anxiety. We have seen and felt fear. We have seen and felt anger. We have seen and felt overwhelmed. We have seen and felt righteous indignation. We have woken up with trouble on our minds, and we have gone to bed with that same trouble still on our minds. Well, since we know that we struggle, since we know that we struggle to respond rightly when the troubles of this world begin to surround us, we need to listen carefully to David's words today. So this morning, we're going to walk through this passage together, and then we are going to take just a few minutes to answer the question, well, how do we respond to David's words today? And so as the psalm begins, David cries out to his Lord. So I'm going to read verse 1 again for us. "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." Yet when we think of David, we tend to think of him kind of through the lens of the entire Bible. Kind of the summary of David is kind of how we think of David. And we forget that there were moments when the people of Israel were not sure about David. David was declared a rebel by King Saul. David went and lived with the Philistines, who were the enemies of Israel, when he was on the run from Saul. David was part of a civil war. After the death of Saul and Jonathan, David committed adultery. He committed murder. David didn't discipline his general when his general committed murder. David didn't rule over his own household well. These were things that people knew about him in Israel. And so this man, after God's own heart, was a man with many failures in his past and with many enemies at all times. And when David finds himself once again under attack and overwhelmed, he cries out to the Lord. And when he does this, he calls him the God of his righteousness. David's reputation is under attack. He is being lied about by his enemies as his enemies attempt to harm his position and his reputation as king. And so in faith, David cries out to the God of his righteousness. God is the one who will vindicate him. God is the one who declares David righteous. And David's plea begins with a reminder that this is not the first time that he has needed God to deliver him. He says, "You have given me relief when I was in distress." You know, David reminds God, and he reminds himself, that God has been faithful in the past to deliver him from danger, and now he calls on God to do it again. And remembering the relationship that he has with God, he asks him to mercifully answer his prayers. And as Trimper Longman tells us, that calling boldly on God is a privilege that belongs to his children. You know, David's pleading a relationship. That's why he's going back to his father again. David's cries are grounded not in his own righteousness, but in his trust in his righteous God. And then in verse 2, David turns from addressing God and begins to address those who are attacking him. And listen to verse 2 again. It says this, "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" The question that David asks of those who have made themselves his enemies is how long? How long will they continue attacking him? How long will they continue to spread lies and slander about God's anointed king? They are attempting to bring dishonor on the king of Israel. David says they love vain words, that they love lies. They may say that they are not his enemies, but their actions betray their true intentions. And so in verse 2, David responds to the lies and the slander of his enemies by asking them just how long they're planning to oppose him. And then in verse 3 and 6, David suggests to them a different path. Let me read these verses again. This is verses 3 through 6. "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.'" One of the incredibly interesting discussions surrounding this psalm is the question of just who David is addressing in verses 3 through 6. Some commentators say that David is addressing his enemies and that he is calling them to forsake their sins and to once again place their trust in God. Other commentators say that David is addressing other believers who are suffering injustice by telling them the right way to respond to injustice. And they all support their positions very well. But in the end, I believe that commentator Alex Motyer explains it best. He says that in these verses, David is addressing his attackers, and that he is addressing his followers who are suffering along with him, and that he is addressing us. These instructions that David offers in these verses apply to all of those who hear them. And so in verses 3 through 6, David offers four words of instruction that serve as a warning to those who are attacking the innocent and as an encouragement to those who are under attack. In verse 3, David warns those who are attacking him, and he encourages those who are under attack when he says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." You know, in 2 Samuel 7, we remember that God set apart David, set apart David's line, promised that it would not fail. And David reminds his enemies of this truth, but you'll notice that David isn't only talking about himself here. He doesn't say, know that the Lord has set apart David. He says, Lord has set apart the godly for himself. David isn't only talking about himself. And so with these words, David is reminding us that if God has chosen to set his love on us, then he will never abandon us. If he has set us apart, then we can be sure that he will answer us when we call. And so that's the first instruction and reminder. In verse 4, we find another word of instruction. David says, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent." Here David tells us that we can be angry at unjust suffering, but that we should refrain from letting that anger lead us into sinful actions. And the Apostle Paul quotes this verse in Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 27. So I'm going to read that. It's Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." There are times when it is right for us to be angry, especially when we are angry at the injustices of this world, and yet we are told to ponder it in our hearts and not to sin. We are to take the anger to God rather than letting it lead us into sinful thoughts and words and actions. And in verse 4, David tells us to be angry without sin. And then in verse 5, he says, "Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord." In this verse, David tells us to do more than simply avoid sin. He tells us to offer right sacrifices to the Lord, which means obeying the Lord as we put our trust in the Lord rather than putting our trust in schemes of vengeance or schemes of revenge or schemes of justice on our own. And in verse 6, David says, "There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.'" There are those with David who wonder if anyone is still on their side. Maybe you wonder that some days too. Is anyone still for us? Because it doesn't feel like it. There's days when it doesn't feel like it. David reminds us in this verse that when we feel like no one is for us, our God is. Our covenant Lord will not for one second stop being for his people. Trimper Longman explains that the phrase, "the light of your face," he says that's an idiom. It's about for the covenant blessings of the Lord. When we are overwhelmed by the sheer volume of trouble in this world, when we are angry and indignant at the injustice that we see, when we feel under attack from every side, David tells us to look to the Lord who has promised to be for us. And why should we look to the Lord when everything around us is going wrong? Well, David tells us in the last two verses of this psalm. He says, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." You know, in these last two verses, David addresses his God, and listen to what he says. He tells us that even in the midst of his worst days, God has put more joy in his heart than when he was feasting in safety. He's found more joy in the Lord in these hard times than he found in the bounty and in the celebrations of a harvest feast. The Lord has given him joy. And not only that, as David has brought his cries to the Lord, David's heart is filled with peace. And like a sheep who won't lie down and won't sleep unless they feel safe, David is able to lie down and to sleep knowing that he's safe in the care of his good shepherd. David wrote this psalm. He wrote this psalm when he was in great distress. And in fact, Derek Kidner tells us that the Hebrew word for great distress can be translated as in a tight corner. When David wrote this psalm, he wrote it feeling hemmed in by his troubles. And I know that some of you may be feeling that same way this morning, and I know that because I've been experiencing those same feelings this week too. We've been through months of concern about the coronavirus. Most of us have followed the guidelines. We've done our best to restrict our travel. We've stayed home. And now we're adding to the potential for division over how and when to reopen states and that kind of thing. We're adding conversations about race and protests and riots. And many of us are wondering what our country's going to look like when July arrives. You know, I saw a meme on Facebook where it said, who knew that murder hornets were the right choice for June? You know, that would have been better for June. You know, we don't know what July is going to look like, and so we're filled with anxiety. And in addition to our public concerns, we add our private concerns. We're anxious for our family members. We are anxious about our income. We're anxious about retirement investments. Like David, many of us have come here this morning feeling hemmed in by our troubles. And in this psalm, David does not dwell on his troubles, but instead he tells us that in these anxious moments, we will find peace and joy and safety in the Lord when we bring our anxious hearts to him. And so the question then is this: well, how can we respond to David's words? I want to give us four ways we can respond to David's words. The first way that we should respond to David's words today is by learning to be angry without letting our anger lead us into sin. So the first way we respond is by learning to be angry without letting our anger lead us into sin. Verse 4, David says, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent." James 1:20 tells us the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We need to learn to be angry at injustice. We need to learn to be angry at the wrong that we see in this world. But our response must not be to let that anger lead us into sinful thoughts or into sinful words or actions. Instead, we take our anger to God's word for instruction and how to respond wisely. We take our anger to God in prayer, asking for wisdom and help and knowing how to respond. So the first way that we should respond to David's words is by learning to be angry without letting our anger lead us into sin. The second way that we should respond to David's words today is by remembering God's past faithfulness to us. We respond by remembering God's past faithfulness to us. In verse 1, David says, "You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." In verse 3, he says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." David knew that God would answer his prayers for help in his moment of distress because he knew that God had set him apart as his own and because God had answered his prayers in the past. You know, when we learn to remember God's faithfulness to us in our moments of distress, we find ourselves like David, emboldened to bring our prayers to our God. And just bring our prayers to our God, who through the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has purchased us as his own, who has promised that if he began a good work in us, he'll be faithful to complete it. We're bringing our prayers to the God who told us that he would never leave us or forsake us. When we are in distress, we remember God's past faithfulness, we remember his promises, and we are emboldened to go to him in prayer, trusting that he will hear our prayers, trusting that he will act for our good and for his glory. And so the second way we respond to David's words is by remembering God's past faithfulness to us. And then the third way we respond to David's words today is by entrusting yourself to the Lord. We respond by entrusting ourselves to the Lord. Verses 5 through 7, David says, "Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good?' Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound." David's response to his distress is to further entrust himself to the Lord, who alone is able to put joy in our hearts, even when we feel hemmed in by our troubles. Because even though it may feel true that we are hemmed in by our troubles, the truth is that we are hemmed in by something much more powerful. Listen, I'm going to read Psalm 139. I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to just listen to these words and let them soak in. This is Psalm 139, 1 through 17. David says this: "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, 'Surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night,' even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. What incredible words from David here. When we feel hemmed in by anxiety and trouble and fear, we can entrust ourselves to the Lord who knew us before we were formed, who hems us in behind and before, and who sees us and is with us even in the darkness. So the third way we respond to David's words today is by entrusting ourselves to the Lord. When we feel hemmed in by the troubles of this life, we remember that we are actually hemmed in by someone much greater. And then the fourth way that we respond to David's words today is by resting in the safety of the Lord. We rest in the safety of the Lord. The last verse of this psalm says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So David begins his cry to the Lord. He brings his cry to the Lord. He entrusts himself to the Lord, and then he lies down to sleep, because having entrusted himself to the Lord, he can now rest. Because he knows that the Lord has heard his prayers and that the Lord will take care of him. James Montgomery Boyce says that what is important about this psalm is actually what happens to the psalmist as he prays. David cries out in distress, and then seven verses later he lies down to rest. His Lord has heard, his Lord knows, his Lord is good, his Lord is faithful, his Lord gives him joy, his Lord gives him rest. You and I, having entrusted ourselves to our God, can rest, knowing that the words of Paul in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 are true. I'm going to read those for us this morning. It says, "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul here is saying what David is saying. When we've entrusted ourselves to the Lord, we are safe in his hands and we can rest, knowing that nothing will separate us from him. The peace, the joy, the rest that our hearts are craving in these days of trouble and sorrow, they won't be found on social media, they won't be found in the news, they won't be found in the stores, they won't be found in our hobbies. But we will find them in the sure love of God in Christ Jesus. And so when we take our cares and our concerns to Christ, we can say with David, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I'll both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." When we entrust ourselves to our good, faithful God, we can rest. So let me pray for us this morning. Lord, we come this morning knowing that we have busy, anxious hearts. We know that we feel pulled in so many different directions by the events of this world and the events in our own lives. Father, we ask that you would help us to come to you, in our distress, to come to you when we feel hemmed in by our troubles. Lord, we ask that when we come to you, we'd be reminded of your past faithfulness, that we will remember just who you are. We're emboldened by our relationship with you, the promises that you have made to your people, emboldened by the memory of all that you have already given us in Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to entrust ourselves to you and to find rest in you this week. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen.